Since 1915, the Anchorage Chamber of Commerce has been a valued resource, providing insight and strength to our city's business owners, workers, and customers. This month on KSKA, you'll have a front row seat at the Denina Civic and Convention Center, where the Anchorage Chamber will host a variety of speakers at their Make It Monday forum. This week, Janelle Flager from RE/MAX Properties and Rodney Jackson of Wells Fargo Bank give a report on the current residential real estate market, refinancing trends, and forecast Anchorage's housing outlook for 2010. Recorded on Monday, August 17th at the Anchorage Chamber of Commerce Make It Monday Forum, a real estate outlook for Alaska is coming up next on KSKA after the news. You're listening to KSKA Anchorage, FM 91.1. In the past year, Anchorage's housing market has fluctuated with its uncertain economy. With Anchorage's ever-changing real estate market, potential land shortage, and fluctuating real estate costs, what should homebuyers and sellers be aware of during economic hardships? At the Anchorage Chamber meeting this past week, Janelle Flager from RE/MAX Properties and Rodney Jackson of Wells Fargo Bank aimed to answer these questions, providing a report on the current residential real estate market and outlook for 2010. Janelle Flager entered the real estate industry in 1980, specializing in the residential market in Anchorage. She has represented both business owners with commercial real estate sales, corporate relocation accounts, and new construction builders. As one of its top agents, she is currently working as an associate broker for RE/MAX Properties. Following Janelle, we will hear from Rodney Jackson, area manager for Wells Fargo Home Mortgage, an affiliate of Wells Fargo that specializes in the residential real estate market and a primary lender in the Alaskan market. Recorded at a Make It Monday forum hosted by the Anchorage Chamber of Commerce on Monday, August 17th. First up, here is Janelle Flager of RE/MAX Properties.
Well, good afternoon. I am absolutely thrilled to be here and to be able to speak to you today. As Phil noted, I am Janelle Flager, and I'm an associate broker with RE/MAX Properties here in Anchorage. But the broker at RE/MAX Properties is Mr. Mark Cording, and he is usually standing in front of you to give, historically has given this real estate outlook for the Anchorage Chamber. So, unfortunately, Mark was not able to be here today, but I'll do my best to follow in those. That's a tough act to follow, as you all well know, to follow my mentor, Mr. Mark Cording. I've had the pleasure to work with Mark, in fact, at RE/MAX Properties since 1985. And as Phil also noted, I have been in this industry for almost 30 years. Yikes! So within that time frame, those 30 years, of course, Anchorage has seen a lot of changes to their residential and commercial real estate markets. So today I get to share with you both the strengths and weaknesses of the 2009 residential real estate market. I also have the pleasure of serving currently on the Anchorage Chamber Board of Directors. And my fellow directors have come to expect comments from me during our board member comment section. So my mantra in those meetings is perception can become reality. So it's important, and I feel very strongly, that we need to tell the community the stability and the strength of our real estate market. Every real estate market is local. There is no national market, and so we need to recognize that. And again, the strength of our stable real estate market is far different than the news that we're hearing from some of the depressing news that comes out of that, from the lower 48. So, remembering that, let's take a look at what the market looks like year to date here in Anchorage. The information that I am using is from the Alaska Multiple Listing Service. It doesn't reflect all of the transactions within the bowl, but it certainly has the bulk of the information. And as my good friend says, the devil is in the details. So let's take a look at those details. First of all, under residential monthly sales, we take a look at the last 13 months of sales. And a lot of these slides are going to be obviously very detailed and difficult to see, but if you can concentrate on the right of the columns, you'll be able to see the totals. So we had 194 units sold per month on an average, with a current inventory in Anchorage of just over 1,233 properties currently for sale in the Anchorage Bowl. And so going on, let's take a look at also what happens in the condominium market. Slightly different, of course, much lower number of units of sales. So we have an average of 84 sales per month and an active inventory today of just over 590 or 593 properties as of this date. Again, we're always using a 13-month average. And so that's July to July, inclusive of July. So most important for me is to take a look, and for my colleagues, many of which are here and listening to me this afternoon in the audience, market absorption is critical. So this chart reflects the residential months of inventory by price range. You can take a look at those price ranges across the Anchorage Bowl. So we have an average of 6.37 months worth of inventory at our current level, based on the active inventory divided by the per month sales. So looking back in 2008, the months of inventory or absorption rate was 5.33. In 2007, it was 5.82. In 2006, it was 4.36. In 2005, 2.37, and in 2004, 2.62. Obviously, very fast moving years. But specifically, in taking a look at these different price points, as you can see, we have 6 months worth, 6 months or less of inventory in the price ranges below $350,000. We would consider that a balanced market. The market absorption then climbs as we climb price range, with homes over $750,000 having almost 19 months worth of inventory and over 31 months worth of inventory in that million-plus category. Again, by 6 months or less in those price ranges, we would again consider that a balanced market. But also please note that even in a strong seller's market, we always find a lengthy market absorption time in that million-plus category, since the percentage of the buying population is certainly slim in that category. All right, let's do the same thing for condos. The average there is just over 7.07 months worth of inventory to date. You'll certainly see similar numbers as you look at those different price ranges as residential. Although if you make note, in that $200,000 to $225,000 range, there's over 9 months worth of inventory. Lots of new construction was centered around that point. The months of inventory was not tracked by MLS prior to this year, but we certainly believe that it would have been similar to the absorption as I just showed you under the residential. So, how long does it take to sell a house in Anchorage today? So if you take a look at the average days on market, by price range, with an overall range of 87 days on the market, still very, very good, considered a very balanced and healthy market. The sold days on market is much lower, so of course pointing to the fact that a house is, if it's priced right, it will certainly sell in much less time. And again, going on to condominiums, they are taking a bit longer to sell than what we just saw in that residential picture. We have an average days on the market of the current inventory is over 150 days, and the average sold sits at 89 days. And again, take note of that 200 to 225 range and definitely longer periods of time in that particular range in the marketplace. So I always like to take a look at this as a graph so you can sort of take a look at what that market absorption looks like and what those price ranges look like. I know it's difficult to see those, so let me just point out a couple of these slices. The active inventory, again, broken out by price range, the 300 to 350 range is in the blue on the left, and the 500 to 750 range in the pink on the right. So, you know, big sectors there in the marketplace. Similar graph for condominiums. The greatest concentration of those listings and what's active today is in that 170 to 225 range in both of the purplish and salmon colored sections there. And of course, we want to take a look and see what's our average sales price, what's happening out there. And we want to take a real tight look at that. So we're looking at the last 6 months worth of sales. So we've taken a look from February 1 through the end of July, and that average sales price is just sitting over $321,000. The sale price to original list price is just over 95%, and this, of course, does track with what we get from the National Association of Realtors. And again, lastly, once a house is priced really at market, it sells very, very close to what that list price is, as you can see there. And, of course, again, sells in that shorter time period. So let's take a look and see how that compares to the last few years. You know, you really can see that we are holding steady. We're not having the huge increases that we saw in 2004 or 2005, but stable. The 08 average sales price was just over $325,000. The year-to-date average, again, is slightly down at $322,554. But we have many months left, much more of the selling season this year. Same picture for condominiums. The average sales price is sitting just over $201,000. And the difference between sale to original list to sale price is 96.8%. And again, the similar picture, a very slim margin between the final list price and the sales price. And there we look again at a real steady picture in the last few years of, you know, what that average price is. And actually, we're seeing a slight increase this year, up from 08 at $200,541. Okay, now these last two slides, I have a lot of information on them. I know they're difficult to see, and I'd be glad to provide, you know, copy of this information or specific price ranges to any of you if you'd like. But I thought it's important to take a look at what's happening in the different sections of town and how they all react a little bit differently to the marketplace. Overall, if you'd concentrate again on that last line giving us the totals, you can see that both the unit volume and the sales volume are certainly down. Units are down, our unit volume is down about 14%, and sales volume is down 16%. But the average sales price is holding steady again at just a 1% decline, and the average days on the market actually has decreased about 10%. So again, speaking to being very competitively priced in the best condition gets you to what we call the front of the parade. Let's take a look again in that picture across town, also in the condominium market. A little tougher situation here. Both our units are down by over 25%, and our volume is down 21%. But again, the average sales price is up actually 6%, and average days on the market has decreased by 11%. All those really adding up to, you know, what we would consider a very steady and stable marketplace. In conclusion, and as Phil mentioned earlier, I signed up for Outlook and what was happening year to date. I didn't know where this forecast came from. And if I could forecast, I'm not sure I'd be standing here. But Bill Popp has been telling us from AEDC been telling us across the community since the first of the year that flat is good. And so I certainly will add to that mantra. We haven't had huge changes or the levels of inventory as we've seen other markets, you know, across the country. We have very little change in the values from year to year. we still are enjoying one of the lowest foreclosure rates in the country. Our interest rates are attractive. Our products are good and available. I understand from Alaska Housing we just recently had a good bond sale. So those make for very good choices. Certainly the first-time home buyer credit certainly has made a difference in that segment of the marketplace, and I'm sure Rod will give us some additional or in-depth information in that arena. New construction permits are certainly down, and we would look for those to continue to be down as we head into next year. So looking ahead to 2010, I would say it's a very similar picture as what we see in 2009. I have the ability to sit on a national board for the Council of Residential Specialists, and meeting with those brokers across the country, we are in so much better shape in our ability to go forward in our market. We really could use some good news. That would make a difference in retaining and keeping confidence in our market. There's certainly some hiring freezes out there. The rental market actually is up, with people deciding that they don't want to sell, and so that we see rents increasing and that rental market being pretty tight. But I would say overall, still what we call a very steady, quiet, but good market. I would say it's certainly, I'd venture to say, it's a good market for a buyer, and that as a seller, be wise and wait and carefully select your time to enter the marketplace. So it's been a pleasure to speak to you today. I'd be glad to again, provide any of the detail that Alaska Multiple Listing Service has provided. And just remember that when you're out there, flat is good. So, now, thank you. Please help me welcome Rod Jackson with Wells Fargo Home Mortgage. He is the Alaska Area Manager. Rod?
So before I get started, I got to tell a funny story. When I got the email invite from JJ regarding this engagement, I figured out how to get my home office's attention. And I see some Wells Fargo people out there. Just write this down. Tell them you're going to speak about forecasting to about 100 people. Everybody calls you. So it's been a strange year for us in the mortgage world. As most of you are well aware, we've gone through a lot of change. I take it back to, I think it was the day before Thanksgiving. I remember I was off that week around there, but I get this phone call from my office. Rod, rates are 4.875. I mean, that was just out of nowhere. Our government had entered the credit market, mortgage-backed security market. And they did it for a reason. They did it for a purpose. It's still, you know, our markets are still not where we would like them. The credit markets aren't. But had they not entered that market when they did, I would be speaking to you with a lot less lift in my step. And I think you guys would all be walking around with a lot less lift in your step. Now, there was some impacts to them coming into the market. Mr. Fauske can attest to one. What it did to some of our other markets, our bond investors, it was tough on them. They forced the rates down on the conventional side and made it a situation where our bond competitors just couldn't compete in that market. What that did to Alaska was, and I'm speaking specifically about Alaska today. What that did to Alaska, and a lot of people aren't aware of this, is it really impacted our outlying communities and the ability for them to get money. Our Alaska housing people, they've been great. And you know, Dan, you and your group, you guys don't get enough credit for what you guys do. But when I'm visiting the country nationally and going around and I talk to people about our bond program we have, you guys are far and above better than anything that's out there. So, you know, you guys can give yourselves a clap for that, because it's incredible. But things have been quiet in his world, and I think he would let you know that right now. And hopefully these two, there's two purchases, right? Did you guys do two? $160 million in bonds out. So that just frees up money for us to lend to our outlying communities. And I'll tell you, when I was looking at Janelle's slide regarding the condos, here's the impact that's happened. And, you know, you look at condos, and it's a two-part equation. One is a lot of the foreclosures that we're seeing across the country were speculative buyers. And speculative buyers, what do they buy? And it's not always, but what do they buy? Condos. They like condos. And, you know, so what happened with those is we had a lot of condos hit the market in these areas. And then Fannie and Freddie's reaction to that is we've got to tighten guidelines. What we found out is having a 760 credit score doesn't mean anything if you're, you know, 75% upside down in your home. You're going to, you know, and it's not your home. So our condo guidelines have been tightened. And, you know, between the time I left my office, which was 11:10, to now, which is 12:35, there's probably been a condo change. I mean, it's I cannot keep up. And I got a couple people that work for me, summer condo changes every day. It's just brutal. So the condo numbers are soft because it's really hard to secure the money on that product. That kind of hurts Alaska in some instances because a lot of our builders, due to our land shortage, have entered into projects that are deemed condo projects. And it's, you know, it's kind of the, you know, the double foot dropping on you, whatever you want to call it. So we've had some issues with that, with moving that product. And, you know, I think some of the builders probably have had some issues with getting the money for from us to be able to build the product. So that's just a little, you know, chink in the armor of what happened when Alaska, you know, these things happened in the condo market. Getting back to the bonds and Alaska Housing and the impact that's having on us. Without them in the market, my areas, especially my western coast areas, the Dillinghams and the places like that, they're subjected to strict Fannie and Freddie rules for any of the properties they're moving, and those things just don't work for them. A bond agency like Alaska Housing, they have a rule program that's just phenomenal, allows us to be able to lend and touch all sectors of the state, which we need to do. We can't forget about those people. So when we bring them back in the market and when Alaska Housing is back in the game, I see a lift coming in from the outside, which is also going to help us internally right here at the heart of where we hub, which is Anchorage, which should be positive for Alaska. The applications that we're seeing right now for purchase money, they're up about 1% over last year, which is, I don't know if that's strictly due to the fact that we're just so good, or I think it's more due to the fact that there's just less lenders in the market, and they have less product. Our applications are up. Our fundings are up about 1% for year per purchase. Obviously, our refi numbers are off this chart. We don't even need to talk about those, but all this happening brings me to one piece that I think is really critical for Alaska right now. We have a program that's called our Corporate Relocation Program. And what that is it's a financing program for, our oil companies and other large companies, UPS. We got several that are in there. They actually get preferred financing rates. Sorry, guys, not trying to hurt your feelings. It's a national deal. But when they transfer to Alaska, it's called the relocation program, and it's really funded through the employers, through their HR department. It's a phenomenal rate. And I'm down, I wrote the number down, this is kind of scary, about 55% in those loans this year to date, which tells me our real concern that we need to be thinking about is we need to be watching the unemployment, we need to be watching what's happening with our partners out there. I mean, it's great to look at the finance guy and the mortgage guy and say, you know, what's going on with the rates? Doesn't matter if we don't have buyers. So those are the numbers to me that are critical to Alaska and what we're going to go do going forward. We have to have involvement from our large partners. We have to have growth in the job markets. We have to have stability in the job markets, not just growth, but it's got to be stable growth. And the credit markets are going to be what they're going to be, but if, without those things, we're going to struggle. So just to hit a couple last things here, I know I don't have a lot of time, so I'll hit this, and if you guys have questions, I'll try to answer the best I can. Nationally, we are seeing positive signs across the board in all geographic markets as far as the turnaround. So what the Fed did do did help. It's been a little bit troublesome. They've never made the drastic infusions that they've made over the last, 120 days or, even the last, I'd say, 6 months. They've never done anything like that and had so little impact. I think I read something over the weekend. Alaska right now is actually experienced its first piece of deflation in 24 years, which shocked me. Now, deflation in and of itself, for a short period of time, I don't think it's a bad thing. But you don't want that happening going forward. So a lot of things, our government's done a lot of things to try to get control of a mess that was created that started in the mortgage sector. We had nothing to do with it. they've done a lot of things to try to curtail the damages of that, but you can see that still out there, I think if the general consumer knew the state of affairs of our credit markets, they'd probably be afraid to leave their house. I mean, we were in a tough situation, and the choices that people made, I don't think any of us could really second guess, because we didn't have a lot of options. So I think it's going to be a period of time of recovery. I think having people have more money in their pockets with the refinance boom that happened there, I don't see that happening again for a while. I think it's going to be stable rates, maybe rise a tick, half percentage point. You might be seeing 5 5/8, I don't think you'll get over 6 in 2010, but you're going to see them go up a little bit. It's just going to be a grind. I mean, we're going to have to grind this out. And that said, I see these questions popping in. I don't want to keep you guys too long. I think 2010 for Anchorage and Alaska in general is going to be a fairly decent year. I mean, I'm not going easy on my managers. I'm forecasting some good numbers.
You've been listening to Janelle Flager from RE/MAX Properties and Rodney Jackson of Wells Fargo Bank discussing the real estate outlook for Alaska at a Make It Monday forum hosted by the Anchorage Chamber of Commerce. This program was recorded at the Dena'ina Civic and Convention Center on Monday, August 17th. Following their presentations, both Rodney and Janelle responded to questions from the audience. Chair of the Anchorage Chamber of Commerce, Phil Oakenson, asked the questions.
First one is to, to Janelle. Is the residential market indicative of the commercial property market, specifically properties zoned I-1, with a comparison of developed versus vacant properties?
That came up a week ago or so. I ran into Chris Stevens and thinking, oh, yes, we obviously need that piece, too, and need to take a look at, what's happening on the commercial side. And there's a lot of information coming from the lower 48 of a real decline in the commercial market, and that it's following suit, behind that residential market. In Anchorage, though, specifically, I wouldn't equate the two. Chris Stevens would certainly do a better job of speaking specifically to that. In most of the segments in the commercial market, there's actually it's a lack of inventory. We certainly have some difficulty in replacing, like, for example, in the warehouse because of the ability to construct it and keep it at market, or we can't do it at this point. So they are separate animals.
How does existing homes compare to new construction when looking at the inventory in the MLS, both in single family and in condo?
You know, we did not end up in an overbuilt situation. There's not a huge segment of new construction out there. It does pull a higher price per square foot. So if I'm, valuing a piece of property, I'm certainly taking a look at the age, and I'm certainly valuing it differently if it is new construction. So again, in new construction, we only have, two or three pockets in town where we're really seeing that as a big segment of the marketplace. So again, adjustment for value is certainly very much based on age and the number of units that are sitting around you.
Okay. Have the number of agents, I'm assuming real estate agents or real estate offices, changed recently, up or down?
Down approximately about 10%. And also, I sit on this national board, which is the Council of Residential Specialists, and the same exact tracking numbers, also about 10% down in membership.
Okay. Are there any areas of the city that are holding their value and or selling better than other areas, i.e. Old Turnagain or Bootlegger's Cove versus Hillside or Southport?
If we pulled up that slide again, dividing it amongst the parts of town, the one that sits the most steady is what we call Area 30, which is Hillside. It's a single family. There is certainly new construction in parts of that hillside. There is a drive to be toward South High. Again, I certainly see that to be the most stable section. There is always a drive for people to be downtown, and we have a shift happening in our population. A lot of us would actually like to move from that District 30 on the hillside and live closer into downtown. And so we typically still see downtown pulling a higher price per square foot.
Okay. Does a townhome fall under the residential home category as opposed to the condominium category? And if somebody was thinking... Well, I'll let you answer that question first.
I probably should call on all the lenders in the audience too. There are different kinds of townhomes, condos, site condos. You need to take a specific look at what project you're looking at. There are even certainly some that look and act like a townhome, but they're truly a single family. You own the ground under you. Do you want to speak further to that?
Well, I think you hit it on the head. You'd have to look at the specific property you're discussing, whether there's association involved. There's a lot of factors that determine that. But my thought process on a townhome is if it is a townhome, it's a townhome and it's a residential home. But there are some cases where that's not true. So have to know where you're at.
And this actually goes back to the question just before. If someone was thinking to both sell Southside and buy near downtown in the next 1 to 2 years, would you recommend pushing to do this in 1 year or holding out for 2 years?
Get that mic.
Yeah. I really, truly believe that the majority of my client base is trying to do exactly that. So you could tell I've been at this, again, for those 30 years. And where we are in the marketplace today, I say take a look at the overall picture. There are some opportunities to do that and to make that move and take advantage of the buy right now with these kind of rates, but also take a look at what it's going to take to get your house sold. And if that whole picture makes sense for you to do it now, and you can do it within the year.
Okay. This is probably for both. What impact, if any, do you expect the 2010 open season for the Alaska Gas Pipeline projects to have on the Anchorage real estate market? Will the impact be either good or bad? News be minor or significant?
How many jobs are we talking?
Yeah. That would be good news. I'll say all bets off. We'd be busy.
Okay. This is two questions. When is a home considered sold, at closing or when it becomes under contract? And what are the peak months that sales occur?
once I've successfully negotiated a contract, I consider it appended with contingency contract. It is not sold until it's actually both parties have signed and it's recorded. And then, too, you know, the peak times in the marketplace. In fact, that was interesting. I should have pointed that out earlier. If you take a look at all of those years, we have peak in inventory and peak in sales in these summer months in the June and August. But we've noticed a slight difference this year. We really do think it's an impact of the tightness, some tightening in the financial world, that actually has changed those numbers at least slightly. So you will certainly hear people say, oh, we'll be ready to put your house on the market in the springtime. I say right after the first of the year, be getting ready if you're not out there right now. And we'll also see certainly a lot of activity once everybody gets their kids into school.
I would agree with that. Okay. This next question is for Rod. What do you think the impact will be regarding the HUD ML 2009-19 FHA Condo Association nationwide reapply? I'm not sure I got that right. Nationwide reapply on 10109 with a 30% mortgage insurance max in FHA associations. I'll even let you read that one.
I know. Boy, that handwriting even looks familiar. It's hard to say. I mean, I look at my first time home buyer. When I think FHA, the first thing I look at the impact it's having is to our, we call them low to mod income and our first time home buyers. And that's the best vehicle for them to get into a home. Along with our bond investors that we love so much. Anything that tightens that up for them is tough. What the impact is, I couldn't tell you. I don't think it helps, if that helps. I mean, I couldn't forecast what kind of pain we're going to feel from that. I will say that Fannie and Freddie have far outstretched our government vehicles as far as the pain that they've imposed on credit guidelines. I have people that come to me, Rod, you know, this underwriter wants this. It doesn't make sense. Well, you know, Fannie and Freddie don't make sense. So nothing is the same as it was. We have people now that happen to underwrite these things manually, and we were strictly a decision engine process. And we just kind of moved along. At one point, I was talking to one of my employees, and we were wondering how much longer we were going to be able to validate our positions. Everything was so automated. So now it's gone. It flipped it back the other way. You know, someone's got to tag a name to it. It's no different now with FHA and VA. And, you know, I expect that we're going to see tightening the guidelines for the next couple years until we get through this. But the impacts, without seeing, you know, the rubber to the road, it's really hard to tell.
On the real estate brokerage side, we're very concerned about this and the impact that's going to have on some of these new construction condominium projects. And that our concern is that it will even have impact on the projects that sit above FHA guidelines. So time's going to tell, but that's going to make it really tough.
Okay. Government is soon to exit the mortgage-backed security bond purchases. What does Wells Fargo and or the industry predict will happen?
As far as them exiting the market?
Yeah.
Well, they have exited the market, so as of now, they're not in it right now. They haven't purchased any bonds in quite a while. I expect that we'll... you know, we'll have to wait and see. They've dumped a lot of money in, and you know, it's just hard to say. With the money they've already dumped in, I can't tell you, and I hate to forecast that because you never know what they're going to do.
Okay. The next question is kind of a four-part question for you, Rod, and I think it's kind of trying to get towards trends. So I'll read them all four, and then you can kind of comment on it. What type of programs are allowing people to get into purchases? Two, what is the minimum FICO score that is needed? Three, what type of down payment is needed? And four, what percentage of those applying are actually getting approved?
Okay, so let's hit number four first. I couldn't really give you that number, just because I can't give you that number. But there's some proprietary issues there and the others. But as far as down payment and as far as credit score, I tell people now, when I started this business back in 95, I used to have to get 2 years tax returns, 2 years W-2s, 2 months worth of pay stubs, and 2 months worth of bank statements. So we called it dock to decision. We're back there again. So I would say minimum score 660. We can still do lower than that on some products, but you know, I like that number for just a safe number. As far as down payment, depends on the product you're in. I like to see FHA borrowers with 4 or 5% in their pocket. Government or conventional, they can do, you know, I think anymore 10% is a safe bet with mortgage insurance nowadays. That's the other side of this that people don't realize. It's not just the service portfolios that are hurt by foreclosures. Mortgage insurance companies have taken it in the shorts. They've been pounded. And for them to remain solvent, there's going to have to be some changes in their guidelines, and we've seen those happen. So they've gotten tougher as well.
Okay. And our last question for today, and this is to Rod. Does it bother you to tell people your your handicap is 11 when you know it should be lower? I guess it's a personal thing.
I knew this was going to come out.
I should pre-read these things.
That's proprietary.
And with that great piece of information, I'd like to give a round of applause to Rod and Janelle.
You've been listening to a Make It Monday forum hosted by the Anchorage Chamber of Commerce. Recorded on Monday, August 17th, Janelle Flager from Remax Properties and Rodney Jackson of Wells Fargo Bank provided a real estate outlook for Alaska and responded to questions submitted by audience members. If you would like to download today's program, please visit our website, kska.org. Coming up next week, hear about the dollars and cents of sport fishing in Alaska. The Anchorage Chamber hosts Rick Gies, director of Kenai River Sports Fishing Association. Gies will give the results of the Alaska Department of Fishing Game's Economic Impact of Sport Fishing report and share his ideas on how salmon resources could be better managed for more economic impact. That's all coming up next week on KSKA, Thursday afternoon at 2 p.m. This has been a presentation of KSKA's News and Public Media. For KSKA, I'm Kristen Spack. Thanks for listening.